Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jan Letender from North Carolina. Welcome, Jan.
Thanks, Michael.
Oh, I can hear you great. How are you?
Good, good. Very well, thank you. I tried on another line and had something exciting happen, so here I am now on this one.
Wonderful. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Jan, tell us a little bit about Best Year Yet.
All right. So I don't know if you mentioned yet, we have a workshop upcoming. I think it's maybe our 8th annual. Best Year Yet is a process, often a year-long process. It's designed to be a year-long process. And the way I think of it is it's a process for translating aspiration or what we most want for ourselves into action. And also, it incorporates an attitude of mind that helps support that direction for that aspiration.
That's great. You know, I've never heard it described that way, translating aspiration into action.
Yep.
And the attitude of mind that's required for that to happen.
Exactly. We typically start with a review of the past year and looking back at what's gone well, what's not gone so well, and looking at what kind of learning there might be from that. And that sets the tone for then moving forward into planning and actually writing down the attitude of mind we want to bring to the year and then going through a process of coming up with what we call our top 10 goals for the year.
Top 10 goals for the year, right.
Yes.
And as you mentioned at the beginning, I, in fact, have not given out the details yet about the workshop, so let me mention that. You'll be here,
okay.
You'll be here this coming Saturday at the Palo Alto Zen Center for the 8th annual version of this workshop, and it's always a very popular workshop here. And as far as I know, people can still sign up online on the Living Compassion website.
Yeah, I think historically we've had between 50 and 80 folks present. So besides the great benefit of leaving the workshop with your plan in hand, it's also just a great way to do a plan. There's a lot of energy in the room. There's a lot of partnership in the room when you're working this plan with other folks. Typically, you end up partnering up with someone over the course of the day. And we didn't set it up this way, but it turns out the workshop this year is on Valentine's Day. So besides it being a nice gift to give to oneself, any partners that would like to come, it's a nice way to, it'd be a nice way, I think, to celebrate Valentine's Day as well.
Yes, and as I've heard you mention, there's also, this workshop will be a Best Year Yet plan for ourselves, and I know that people can do them for a couple or for even a team or an organization.
That's true. Best Year Yet has, it started out as a process that Jenny Ditzler, who is the author of the book Your Best Year Yet, she and her husband Tim, who are the principals of the company Best Year Yet, they started doing on their own. And then Jenny wrote a book, which folks get at the workshop if they so choose. And then it grew from an individual workshop, a process just for individuals to do, into, like you're speaking to, a process for organizations. And in fact, every year, Living Compassion does what we call a team plan. And we'll be doing that while I'm out there as well this time.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I was just thinking about what you said earlier on about turning aspiration into action, and the way that the process is laid out seems to me exactly along those lines. So we look at what we've done for the past year, we see what our aspiration is for the coming year, and from that we lay out exactly what are the steps to get from A to B.
Yeah, and the beauty of that, a lot of the power in that is in the writing it down itself. I often say at the workshop that even if after the workshop, I don't recommend it, but if after the workshop I or a person was to take their plan and put it on the shelf and not look at it, a lot of the goals and the action steps that I wrote down, I would find a year later had actually come to life, come to fruition, just through the power of, you know, maybe overuse, but setting the intention and then writing it down, that builds a lot of the momentum that's needed to start us off in the direction we want to go.
Yes, indeed. And until I had the experience myself, I would have said that was hogwash. And yet, it's exactly my experience. I write it down. Yeah. I spend a really focused 6 hours bringing a lot of attention and awareness to what it is that I want to bring to my life. And I think there's been a year or two where I never indeed did look at the book the whole year. And miracle of miracles, there's something that happens there that sets various processes in motion toward those goals.
Yeah. And typically at the workshop we do in Palo Alto, on average, half the group has done the workshop before. In fact, I think these days half the group has done the workshop 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 times in a row. And I think that's a real testament to how the process works. Granted, we have a group of people who are committed to practice and committed to awareness, which, best year yet, I think lines up with pretty nicely. But a testament to how well the process works that we have a large group of folks year after year that come back and participate.
Yes, indeed. Jan, you touched on something there that I'm interested in and other people perhaps as well. What does Zen awareness practice have to do with best year yet?
Yeah, it's less so than I used to, but often I would get questions or just comments that people thought that setting goals, for instance, that piece of what we did seemed inconsistent with Zen practice or with the idea of being present, that if I'm looking out to the future and I'm, in effect, trying to direct my life or direct life, that has to be coming from a conditioned place. And, of course, it's possible that may be so, but my experience is that I think of the support of a retreat schedule. When I go on retreat, the schedule's set, and there's something so relaxing about the schedule being set, and I agree to do my practice by following the schedule. And just that decision takes a lot of the conditioning, the conditioned thoughts and doubts and indecision and back and forth that I usually deal with in my life. It puts that in the background because I've committed to practice by following that retreat schedule. And for me, a best year yet plan is comparable. You know, I make it from the most aware place I'm able to at the time we get together. But then it serves that when conditioned mind comes up and says, well, why don't you do this? So I start down that path. No, why don't you do this? And I start down that path. And, you know, the net result is I'm just ineffective. If I commit to the practice of working with that plan, you know, keeping my eyes open to the how throughout, I find that, A, it's very relaxing, and, B, that just like with retreat schedule, by the end of the retreat, wow, I feel this incredible sense of commitment to myself that I did what I said I was going to do. I followed the schedule. So a little long-winded, but that's a way in which I see best year yet being aligned with our spiritual practice.
Yeah, I just love that description you gave. So there's the retreat and the schedule, and by showing up for the retreat, I'm committing to that schedule. So that's my goal. And as you say, the best year yet plan that I end up with at the end of the day, that's my goal. And so when we have a practice of commitment, then all of this supports each other, seems to me. The awareness practice supports best year yet and vice versa.
Yes, well put.
Yeah, so it's that, that's really exciting. Yeah, so when I learn to trust myself and trust that I will follow through on my commitments, then these plans really do come to fruition, and there's great movement that's possible.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone who's thinking about doing the workshop just to give it a try if you haven't before. One of the incredible privileges and beauties of doing it through the Zen Center is that it's offered at a very, very, very reasonable price. And, you know, just come see for yourself. If it isn't for you, at the end of the day, you will have spent an interesting time with a lot of wonderful people.
Yes, yes. Jan, I'm so excited you've been on the air here with us, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to being there, and thanks for giving me this time with you. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jan.
All right, Michael, take care.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That was very fun. I'm just a huge fan of Best Year Yet. I'm actually also a huge fan of our facilitator and coach, Jan LaTender.
Yeah.
And so, as you said, you know, the excitement that starts to build as we get closer to this process. It's really true. It's something that there are a lot of us now who really look forward to it as an annual event. And yes, it's all of those things. It's such a great way to be with Sangha, and it is such a great workshop. And it's just fun to get to have it kind of. It is like practice in that, you know, we do the same thing over and over every year. You know, we it's not like there are any surprises in it. And yet it's such a heart-opening, kind of inspiring, empowering thing that we do exactly the same way year after year after year after year, which is what practice is all about.
Yes, it's great. And as
uh-huh.
you and Jan have touched on, to me, there's a really wonderful Sangha experience in the workshop itself, as I hear
yeah.
people sharing
oh,
and getting
yeah.
their ideas. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fun. If people realized how much fun Sangha is, practice would be even more popular than it is.
Indeed. Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Michael, I noticed that you have a very... baritone-ish sort of a voice.
I've dropped an octave or so.
Yeah. I think you should break into song before this program.
I think we've got great potential
there.
Yeah, I think every year or two, one of us drops an octave or two for a show. So makes for a fun time.
Yeah. Okay, do we have any?
We have a big stack of red lights here, Sherry.
All right, let's go.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can
Hello.
Hear
you.
Hello,
my name is Richard. I'm telephoning you from Manchester in England.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and you know, you sound like you're a long ways away, so that's very good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And good evening to you, Sherry. Good evening to you, Michael.
Hi.
Hi. Just to say that I first came across your radio show and your book, Sherry, only a few months ago, and I'm so impressed with the way or how you present a lot of issues for most of us, but it seems to hit the spot as far as where I am in my life.
Uh-huh.
And the archives are absolute godsend, they are. What I wanted to bring tonight was some of the issues around my stuckness. And it's amazing how Jan was just speaking about best year yet. And I have big issues around commitments. I seem to... back away from any commitments I try to make. There's a saboteur, a subpersonality who keeps cutting in to trash anything I attempt to try.
Mm-hmm.
So it's It's around this stuckness, which has been around for quite a few years now.
May I ask you about that?
Well, I could almost pinpoint how it started. It was the breakdown of my marriage, and then from that to giving up my business, just closing the doors on a business I had, which, and in a place of depression, and I've kind of come through that depression, and over the last 12 months, I've begin to see some shafts of light coming through. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it's amazing how I've come across yourself and the teachings that you provide. The marriage, I think, was heartbreaking for me. The breakdown of the marriage was heartbreaking for me. And I lost all enthusiasm for the business I had. And then I kind of, fortunately, I saved quite a bit of, I had good funds to rely on. And so I've kind of isolated myself. So I've kind of shut myself away from the world. And I'm finding it very, very difficult to re-engage again. Mm-hmm. As I say, it's, every time it feels like whenever I try, there's a saboteur that comes in and just keeps me in this place.
Yeah.
So
now this saboteur character, how do you relate to him? What have you been doing to? Just how do you relate to that saboteur?
I can see now what I've been doing. I've been handing over all my power to this part of me.
Uh-huh.
And I can see that now. And I'm beginning to see that more and more now. So it's even by the very fact of being on a telephone tonight and to begin talking about this, this is a step in the in the right direction for me to
yes, and not one that saboteur was probably terribly supportive of.
No, absolutely no, absolutely not. Although I can't for the life of me figure out what's going on most of the time.
Uh-huh.
But I depend very much on. I'm very cautious about who I listen to and who I don't, and what I read and what I don't, I won't say selective. I'm just very defensive, very guarded about
uh-huh.
the information that I'm receiving. And so
now,
there's a lot of
instinct
of trusting someone. So, I mean, trusting yourself and what you represent is a big step for me, you see.
Yeah, because I'm wondering if you have a feel for whether it's you who is monitoring what you take in, or the saboteur.
Mm-hmm.
Because the saboteur would have a big investment in controlling what you read, what you hear, what you do. That would be a big part of how he would stay in control of your life.
Yes. And alongside that is I blame myself for every difficulty, every situation that I find myself in. It must be me. It can't be anyone else, or it isn't anyone else. But just so to help me to try and make some sense of where I am, I'm naming this saboteur as. But I must be working with the saboteur as well. I mean, I must be assisting, helping this saboteur. So.
Well, yes, of course. Of course you are. But, you know, at this point, he has probably become one of your most primary relationships.
Yes.
The two of you are in conversation all the time, probably with him doing most of the talking and you doing most of the listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it keeps me very safe, you see. I imagine myself to feel safe. It feels comfortable. But I know that it feels like I've wasted so many years, and I'm now beginning to get a bit scared to the future, and is this it, you know, and surely there must be more. I am more than this, and how do I move out of this?
Okay, I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, so who would you call the part of you who wants to live, who wants to participate, who is willing to risk being hurt again or disappointed or whatever, because he really wants to live?
Well, the guy who's speaking now, who 7 years ago wouldn't bat an eyelid at anything, was pretty much fearless in most things.
Okay, so you can access him pretty easily, it sounds.
It feels as if I've disconnected from him.
But you know
someone
him.
Else.
You know him really well, though.
Pardon?
You know him well enough. So this is what I'm imagining.
Yes.
That you take out two or three pieces of paper, and on one of them, you write down a description of that fearless fellow.
Yes.
Okay, what he likes, how he sees the world, what he wants, what he enjoys, just everything that comes to you about him.
Right.
And then you do the same kind of thing with the saboteur. And we'll just kind of narrow your whole life down to these two people just for a little while. Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
You do the same thing with the saboteur. What does he say? What does he want? What does he believe? What is he angling for? What is he trying to accomplish with you? And I don't mean figure that out intellectually. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to do something and he stops you from it, you know, that's the kind of thing you want to be able to write down, the kinds of things that he says to control your life, okay?
Yes.
And then you put those two pieces of paper on the table in front of you, and you keep them there. And you refer back to them with regularity so
mm-hmm.
that you have a growing sense of the relationship between those two aspects of yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When is the fearless, wants to live, wants to participate guy, he comes out, and then mm-hmm. what does the saboteur do in order to thwart his plans?
Yeah.
Now, as you do this, of course, you're going to be finding other people, right?
Yeah.
So there's the fearless guy is probably actually not in relationship with the saboteur. Probably the person who's in relationship with the saboteur is someone who is quite young.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
So just to be prepared that, you know, you're all kinds of folks are going to come out to participate in this. And that's great, because that's the assignment, is to get down there. Now, I ask you to put it on paper because that's a disidentifying process.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
All this stuff happens inside of us. You know, it's very real. We can't get any distance on it. We write it down. We put it there in front of us. And suddenly, you know, I can see, wow, I'm actually not that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So
that's your first assignment.
Well, thank you very much.
You have a second one, okay?
Okay.
You have a second assignment, and that is after you do the first assignment, you'll call back and let us know what happens.
Oh, absolutely, Sherry. Yes, yes.
Okay, good.
I want to stay in touch, and I'm looking now at the Living Beyond Karma, joining up with that, which begins this weekend, I believe, this coming weekend.
The sign-ups will finish this weekend, and then we'll probably start it in the next few days,
That's correct, and it's around issues of being challenged. There's a part of me who, well, I feel I need to be challenged, and yet when I am challenged, I back away from being challenged. But I need something to hold me down, if you like, to help me to challenge, you see.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
This living beyond karma could be something that could help me with this.
Yes, well, Ed, what helps us, of course, is having something constantly in front of us reminding us. So,
yeah,
you know, we're still required to bring our own willingness to it. But because, you know, you've got this situation that you're really very clear about, and then you're going to have the support and encouragement to continue to come back and look at it rather than sort of drifting off with the saboteur's program.
That's
where the support of Sangha is so helpful, to help us stay with the practice.
Right, yes. Okay, well, look, Sherry, thank you so much. Thank you for making me feel welcome. And I'll bid you good night then, and I'll come back and let you know how I'm getting on.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night,
Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Bye-bye, then. Bye.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm always so inspired when people call from abroad, and it's just like they're seeing it.
Yeah. It's wonderful that Sangha has this ability at this point. It's really quite extraordinary.
Yes.
We can be all over the world and practicing together.
Yes. Hmm? Yeah, and I'm just seeing a little light up in, you know, a little light in Manchester just burning brightly out there.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Really great. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break for a sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention. Please visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have four callers in the queue here.
All right, I just want to tell you one thing, and that is that it's a marvelous piece of technology that has me muted during when John is talking, because I always have to sing along at the top of my lungs with "What a Life." And it's good that people are spared that, actually.
Someday you'll share with us.
Someday you won't mute it, right? There I'll be.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, oh my gosh, I'm on. Can you hear me?
We can.
That's good. Hi, Sherry, this is Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
I'm good. It's amazing. I've tried so many weeks, and I've actually never gotten through on TalkShoe, so I wasn't sure when I would know if I was on the call or not, so I wasn't quite sure. So, good. Yay. Thank you.
Yay. What's going on now that you're recovering from your shock?
Now that I'm recovering from my shock, my heart's racing a little bit. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm on. Here we go. Wow, Sherry, it's karma just kind of, you kind of just go through the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I know I've talked to you before, you know, I have a part of me that really, really wants to be in a relationship. And then there's another part that really just does not want to. And what I'm finding is that I'm able to, you know, in a relationship that's on a platonic level, you know, I'm really able to practice conscious compassion and awareness to a much greater level than when that line is crossed to, like, being in a more, you know, intimate relationship. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're in just a friendship with someone, you can see the process and you know, be, you know, really kind and compassionate towards it and stay unhooked to it. And then, you know, getting a little bit closer and, you know, being with someone, you know, more often and then thinking, wow, do I want to be in a committed relationship with, there comes this huge wave of fear for me that comes around, like, okay, I see, like, I kind of have seen what this person's process is, and do I really want to commit to it? And so I guess, so my question is, like, we all have karma, and, you know, I think that we're all such amazing mirrors for each other, and, you know, I can really see my different parts at work, and I'm still just, you know, squirming around with this whole thing around which one do you say, like, okay, yeah, you know, this is the one that I'm okay working with.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so. You can help me out if I miss the point, okay? But what struck me when you were talking, you know, ordinarily I would, with a relationship thing, I just love that Imago model where, you know, two people find each other, they bring out the best in each other, they stick around long enough, they bring out the worst in each other, and then if you can make it through that, you can get back to the best in each other. And so it's a whole and best in ourselves, and the, you know, the other person is having the same experience. And so there's that feeling of you know, the heart, turning to the heart to overcome karma, which is kind of the, you know, the opportunity that we have in relationship. But what occurred to me when you were talking was that probably the most interesting person in all of the players that we can guess are involved in what you're describing is the one who says, I don't think so.
Right.
Because that's really
the
power position. Pardon me?
It's a power position?
Yes, that person is in the power position.
Yeah.
Over
that's
you.
That's when it becomes
That part is... I feel like we're talking between Manchester and California. So you go ahead.
Well, when you said, you know, it's that part that has the power position, sometimes like that, let's just say it's that no, or ooh, I'm not sure I want to engage in that. It's slippery. I'm not sure if it's coming from a place of center of, like, you know, no thank you, or if it's coming from the saboteur or the control person or the one that's, you know, focused on judgment and criticism. That's what
I know the answer.
Okay. Good.
And
I've been calling.
Yes. Now, of course, I could be wrong. So we all have to always keep that in the front of our conscious awareness about ourselves and about everyone else. But I suspect, in fact, it is not coming from center. And the reason that I suspect that is that it is the place that keeps you in this dilemma. It really keeps you primarily, ostensibly, it keeps you from making a mistake. But what it really keeps you from, is having what you want.
Mm.
And the other piece of that that I hope that you'll look at and know that you will, is that I suspect it's the power position in your life in that it does the same thing to you that it does to the other person. So it maintains,
like,
a very conditional place. So you get involved with someone, and, you know, this is a great person. Sounds like you're, you know, you're friends. And then slowly the relationship progresses. And then at a certain point, this part goes, no. And then there you are. I mean, once it says no, then, well, that's the end of that. And I bet it does the same thing with you. In rejecting who you are at a fundamental level, rejecting what other things that you want, other choices that you would make.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of power and control in the hands of somebody who remains unidentified, kind of unnoticed.
Yeah, but
you know
it
what I
doesn't
mean?
Really have a, it doesn't have a look or anything to it.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, it just points the finger and it gets you to look at what it's pointing at, rather than following that finger back and saying, now, wait a minute, who are you? You know, who put you in charge of deciding about me or my relationships? Or, you know, what kind of, as we were talking about with the previous caller, you know, get out that piece of paper and start taking notes and see if you can figure out who this person is. And because, again, it's supposed to be about protecting you. But that doesn't seem to be what you're getting out of the situation.
Well, then you hearing you say that, it's supposed to be protecting me and it's not what I'm getting out of the situation. And it's kind of like, well, I am protected. And then I guess the next question is, well, who's protected?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the reality is, and I'm sure you've heard me say this any number of times, you know, a person is just a person. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, it's always better if you're seeking an intimate relationship not to go for the serial killer. Okay?
Sure.
So, socially, we'll all agree there are people who are probably a better match for one person than another. But once you've gone through that process of, you know, this is a really nice person, a kind person, has integrity, has faults, has some flaws. And we could be talking about either one of us at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Right.
So there we are. We're all human beings. And so at some point, if you want to have a relationship with another human being, you have to say, well, this one is a really good candidate, so I'm going to do this. And it's not, I'm going to do this until I get disappointed or until I, you know, ego doesn't like something that's going on, or I get tired of this, or I start hearing voices that say I've made a mistake. I can, you know, that's not it. Because all of that conditioning is always going to be there.
Right.
With anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're talking about a relationship between two people, but it's with anything. You know, I commit to living somewhere. I commit to a job. I commit to, being in relationship with family members. I commit to fitness. I commit to a certain diet.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is, those voices, those conditioned voices, are going to try to ruin it.
Right. Yeah. 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 And, you know, it's amazing. I'm all of this I can completely take in, and the one thing that occurs to me is, like, I commit to, you know, living here where I live, and, you know, and then there's always this thing of, like, life showing up and giving you other possibilities, and this is where it starts getting a little committing to this, and yet life is, do you know what I mean?
May I?
Yeah,
may I?
Yeah.
Because there is, at least in my experience, it'd be interesting to, you know, if we could hear from other people. But in my experience, the difference between a decision that comes from conditioning and a decision that comes from center. There's almost no way to compare them, okay? Because conditioning is the same old story. It's seeking better accommodation. It wants what it wants. It doesn't like what it doesn't like. It's kind of, okay? Now, a decision that comes from center oftentimes sneaks up on us. Sneaks up on us. Like, you know, I love where I live. I love it. I love where I live. I can't imagine living anywhere else. I don't ever want to live anywhere else. And then one day, you wake up and realize, I'm ready to be somewhere else. The conversation follows the information rather than the other way around.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, totally. Instead of the conversation being, that makes so much sense.
Good. Yeah.
Yes, Jerry?
Yeah.
Okay,
are you there? Yeah,
I think we lost
one another for a minute or so, but then we we came back. Yeah. Go ahead.
That just made it so much. I really got what you just said about having, you know, just it being so clear, and then the conversation coming afterwards versus the conversation coming like almost in the process.
Yes. As if it's talking you into a perspective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Yes,
well, you're welcome. let us know how it goes, okay?
I definitely will. And, good. I'm so glad I got through.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
I will.
How often it's the perfect time. You know, I try, but then things just come together at a perfect time so that you're where you are and I'm where I am, and it comes together, and between us and through us, clarity happens. It's a great thing.
It's a great thing. Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, you are so
and
welcome.
We're looking forward to seeing you next month.
Yeah, me too, you.
Okay, good.
All right, good night.
Thanks, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take another sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have three more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Isabel calling from California.
Hi, Isabel. Guys, we have a nice, clear connection.
Oh, good.
Yeah. What's going on?
I've noticed myself getting a little bit confused. I'm kind of maybe discouraged. So I've had some things happen in the last few weeks that were disappointing, and I can see some of them. Like I can see the voices of self-hatred making projections about what people are thinking about me. So some of them I can see, like aren't real, and then some of them are events that have happened. So that, you know, there's the part of me that's feeling disappointed about them, and then I try doing mentoring. And I think where maybe I'm getting a little bit stuck is that maybe I think there's an underlying belief that, like, when I'm mentoring, it should somehow make the pain go away.
I do know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're really, no, it's not like this, but it's like this. If you're really centered, nothing bad will ever happen. It's that kind of almost superstitious sort of belief, hope that we get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if somebody just loved me unconditionally, I would be happy.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way, because they can love me unconditionally and I'm still who I am, and part of who I am is I have the ability to get unhappy.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well then, it seems like a good plan for that would be to mentor the one who hopes that being mentored will change her experience.
Mentor the one that hopes that being mentored will change her experience.
Yeah, so there you are in a situation, and somebody says something, and you get your feelings hurt. And somebody says, oh, well, mentor that. That's a really young part. So mentor her, and then you'll feel better. So you mentor the little person, but the little person is just having her feelings.
Yes.
So, you know, it's lovely that you're there with her as she's sad.
Right.
But she's still sad. And
so
I would suspect that there's somebody else who believes or hopes or wishes or whatever that there were a magic way around feeling bad or feeling sad or upset or hurt or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw it the other night when the one, you know, that was, like, feeling agitated and kind of depressed and couldn't sleep. And so I was like, okay, I'm here with you. You know, it's okay. But then it quickly went into kind of, like, I could kind of sense it wasn't helping her. And, again, who is, like, who's me, who's her? But it was like, then, okay, what's the point? This isn't working.
Exactly. So I'm here with you. Now go to sleep.
Right. But it's funny. It's like it's almost like it's not quite as I don't know what word to use as that. Like, but it seems to come from a more caring place. Like almost like wishing it could be like a mother's love or something that would just take the pain away. Like I wish I could take this away for you, but it's not working.
Right. And that's where I think somebody else is slipping in there. So somebody really wants both sides of that, wants to be able to provide that unconditional love and acceptance that a mother can provide, wants to be the person to provide that. Somebody else really wants to be the one to receive that.
Yes.
But somebody else is holding a standard. You see, okay, this isn't working. Now, you know, if it really is a mother and a child, and there is that kind of love that we're describing, the mother is going to hold that child until the child wants to get up and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not going to say, hey, you know, I've been holding you for 3 minutes now. For God's sake, when are you going to get over this?
Yeah.
So that's why I think there's somebody else coming in, and I don't have a clear sense of whether it's somebody, it's a real aspect of the personality who's sincere and disappointed, you know, well, why don't I feel better? Which would mean, I would guess it's somebody older.
Okay.
Or if it's, you know, some kind of conditioned, little imp in there trying to ruin the experience, trying to prove to you that you can't mentor, that you can't be unconditionally loving. It doesn't work.
There may even be both of those.
There could be both.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, today I was just kind of, it's been like a couple of weeks, so I was like, oh, my God, I'm not feeling any better. And then I was like, okay, well, why don't I just kind of accept that I'm feeling depressed? And I've read the depression book several times. And so in some sense it was like, okay, I can just be with this, and it doesn't have to be, you know, wrong. But then there was also a real sense of, like, disappointment. Like, really? Like,
well, yes. And I'm right there. So I came home the other day, I can't remember when, and I was great, and I went to sleep and woke up in the morning, and I thought, oh my God, I'm coming down with a cold. And I had this thing, got it from my granddaughter before Christmas, and it was miserable, and it lingered. So I don't know if you were here for the good news part, but this weekend is best year yet.
Yeah.
And so my first thought was, oh no, I'm gonna be sick, and it's best year. Ah. And so there's that feeling of, okay, well, this is where we are. We're going to accept this, right? Because what else are we going to do? And then there's also the part who's saying, but I don't want to be sick now. I mean, it's great that you're, you know, sure, you're going to be sick and you're going to take care of this person. And in the big picture, it's all fine. But doggone, I wanted to go to best year yet.
Yeah.
So all of those things can be true at the same time. Yeah.
Part of me is not taking that as good news, but I don't know. I'm sure it must be somewhere. I guess
I didn't quite understand. What did you say?
Well, it's like there's a part of me that I immediately went to a place of like, okay, well then, there's so much going on. How am I ever going to hold my center or keep coming back to like the mentor? Like,
Now we got a clear bead on somebody, okay? Because that, I can almost guarantee you, is conditioning. Anytime there's a possibility, so, you know, I laid out a way for you to really be able to embrace all of those things at the same time, which is a, you know, kind of as good as it gets for us, I think. You know, you're depressed, you're accepting it, somebody else is disappointed. Let's face it, somebody's in there going, okay, I accept this. I really hope it'll be over by next week, okay, or maybe tomorrow morning. And then what you hear in response to that is, oh, God, how am I ever, you know, that is not the response of somebody who wants it to work.
Oh.
Okay, so I think you might be closing in on your difficulty there. I bet that's the same person who's there in the night going, well, this isn't working.
It does feel familiar. Like, it feels very much like me, quote unquote. Like,
yes.
I do identify with it quite a lot.
Yes. And now, so that's really important, isn't it? It's not you.
Okay, yeah.
It's not you. It is, and we don't need to identify even what it is, but what we know is it's something that doesn't want it to work. Because that's how it's responding. It's like the, you know, we were talking with the previous caller. It's meant to sound as if it's taking care of you in some way. Like, you know, really sympathizing. Gosh, this is so hard. I mean, come on. How are you ever going to? But underneath that, what you get is this is not somebody who's rooting for you to be successful. This is somebody who's going to jump in immediately and say, this is not going to work. You're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to pull this off. You're never going to keep this straight.
Right. I can hear it right now going, yeah, because it hasn't worked so many times in the past. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. You know, our first caller, the little piece of paper there with the, you know, that would be a really good one for you to get all of that down in one place. You know, this isn't going to work. It's not working. It hasn't worked so many times in the past. You're never going to, you know, get all that, all those voices down on one piece of paper, because that's one person talking. It's not you, and it's not on your side.
Yeah. Okay. It feels so close to me. It feels like a second skin, but
Yeah. And so good to see that. It's so hard to see something that we are so deeply identified with. But there's that little, you know, it's kind of like you got a really bad sunburn, and then that one layer starts to peel.
Yeah.
And suddenly you realize, whoa, that's gone, and, I still have skin.
Right. This gives me hope for, like, when I'm stuck, it may actually mean I could see something pretty important.
It, absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is why the voices are so intent on us quitting before we see it.
Oh, I almost hung up the phone so many times.
Yep.
Like tonight, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Good for
okay.
you.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you know what I love about this radio show?
What's that?
People call in. They find the willingness and the courage to call in and then be on hold for however long they're on the phone. And then they're in a conversation with you, with the guide, and conditioning is just outmatched. You know,
yeah.
if we have the willingness to talk about the process, conditioning will reveal itself if we talk long enough.
Yeah, yeah, that is so true, Michael. And that's why it's just nonstop getting us to give up before it is outmatched. Yeah, and willingness, that willingness, the persistence, the dedication, the commitment, it's what we have going for us.
Just amazing.
It is. It's inspiring.
It's very inspiring. It's very inspiring to me. Sherry, we have about 9 minutes, and we have two more callers here.
Ooh, okay, here we go.
Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Holly calling from Australia.
Oh, my goodness, how are you?
I'm totally rapt to be calling.
I see. Can you say
can
more
you
about
hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. And I want to tell you something. We were just talking about you today. Perhaps you heard the vibration and that inspired you to call. Isn't that odd? I mean, it's not like we talk about you every day, but something had come up about a retreat and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and your name came up and plane tickets and timing and all of that sort of thing. So here you are. What's going on?
Well, nothing, actually. I just wanted to connect.
Ooh.
Like, I just kind of feel like I'm coming in May again to do the Precepts retreat. I feel really ready. I feel really excited, and I'm just so thrilled to be on the phone at the moment. Just to stay connected. It's just like I'm sitting every day. I have one friend here who practices, and we talk a lot. She actually got me onto Zen practice when we lived together 3.5 years ago, and she actually introduced me to you and a few other teachers, and this is what I've really kind of vibed with. And I don't know, I just kind of also like my whole body pain stuff. It's actually improving a bit at the moment, but also it's kind of like whenever that kind of triggers and spasms up, it also always brings me back to practice. So it's like there is no escape for me, actually, but in a way that's a total blessing.
Yeah, it's just it's the darndest thing, isn't it? It's of course, for me, it was depression, you know, that thing that I just couldn't, that wouldn't let me give up on myself. It's an odd way of kind of a reverse way of looking at it, but that's really what it was. It just it just continued to be there until I was there.
It's been quite incredible, actually, because I had a full-on episode of pain a few days ago, and it actually, I can manage it, but there are times when it's not so bad, and not, it hasn't been so bad lately, which is just wonderful. But Sunday, I really went there, and I just had to lie in bed with ice tied to my head because it's actually so hot and humid here. I don't know if you've heard about these fires in Australia.
Oh, we have. My God, it's just awful.
Everyone's pretty spun out about it here, but yeah, the weather's been quite intense this summer, and all this is going on here, and everyone's feeling it. But what happened for me is I just noticed on how the subtle levels I try and escape the pain. I go everywhere in my head, and this time I just thought, be kinder to yourself than you should think you should be. So I was so kind. I was just treating myself like I was a baby or something, and I just did everything for myself that was kind. And then my new boyfriend came over, and I managed to go for a walk with him around in the hot night and the moonlight. And I actually, even though I was in pain, I felt so happy, and I felt so present. And we're sitting on the swings at the park, and I just felt like it's almost like I've been practicing for hours with this sensation, and then I got to this place of just feeling really blissed out.
Uh-huh. And of course, all of our conditioning, I bet for most of us, is you cannot treat yourself that way. It's selfish, it's self-centered, it's indulgent. And what you prove to yourself, what we prove to ourselves anytime we try it, is that being kind in that way, accepting ourselves completely and being kind in that way, it results in exactly the opposite, right?
Yeah.
Totally
for me.
Yeah.
Just it's been creeping up, this kind of attitude towards what's happening for me, and, you know, I know that there may be ups and downs with it, but all I know is that when I struggle, the pain is so much worse. Everything is so much worse, and my emotions go with it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, again, we know that with anybody else. You know, if it were anybody else in that kind of situation, your only impulse would be, what can I do? How can I help? What do you need? And yet when it's ourselves, those conditioned voices say, oh, no, you have to. And then it lays out a little program for us of how we need to be hard on ourselves, as if that's going to somehow improve our character.
Mm.
And we don't need character improvement. We need unconditional love and acceptance. That is the character improvement program. That's the only one that actually works.
Yeah, and it's so true. And what I found is, because I noticed that I was leading up to it and I could feel the pain increasing, and I was at a friend's and they were all going out to dinner, and I thought, oh, wouldn't that be fun? It's Sunday. But I just knew, I thought, no, I have to go home and take care of myself. But there was this full-on resistance, like, that would be so depressing. I'll be all alone. I'll be in pain. How many years? You know, la 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 la. But I just thought, no, I'm just gonna not listen. And I just did what I did, and I felt so good. You know,
actually, for
doing that. Yeah.
Yep. There you go. Yeah.
So thank you.
thank you. It's great to hear your voice. We really do. Follow what's happening with folks where you are, and just send huge amounts of sympathy and that sort of thing. So hopefully some of it's getting there. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, and thanks, Sangha. Like, it's just awesome listening to people sharing, and it's just being here so far from that but feeling so close. So
yeah, it's great. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Good night. Good day.
Good
Bye.
Good day. Good day.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Holly. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have a couple minutes here, and we have one more caller.
All right. Well, let's at least say hello and good evening and make a date for next week, if nothing else.
Sounds great. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, this is Nancy from Driftwood, so hello and good evening, and I guess we'll have a date next week.
All right. All right, nothing burning tonight. Well, that's a bad
It's
image.
Been just great to listen, and the Saboteur coming up so often was really good for me because it's been my goal for quite a while to be a public speaker now, and I've been doing it this past year around understanding mental illness. And I was suddenly this afternoon asked to be at a press conference at the state capitol tomorrow to speak. And immediately said yes, and I've been kind of trying to come up with reasons all evening about why I couldn't possibly do this. But it wasn't to do with me. It was because of the time of day that I would need to be there.
Uh-huh.
And so as I've listened, I've thought, oh, this is really good. This is something I asked for. It's coming to me. And I just need to trust that I need to practice my little speech, and then I need to trust that this is exactly the correct next step for me, and I'm adequate to it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely, and a great opportunity to keep track of what is said and what is done to try to keep you from moving in a direction that you want to move in. Always good to see.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. So it's good. Well, that's very exciting.
Well,
so you'll let us know how it goes, huh?
I will let you know.
All right.
So thank you very much.
Best of luck. I'm sure you'll just wow them.
In my 2 minutes.
In your 2 minutes. All right. Good night.
Hopefully so. Good night.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. You've been listening to another fabulous episode of Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's a great privilege and a pleasure as always.
All right. See you soon.
See you soon. Good night.
Bye.